Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. I'm Carol Knier, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. Thank you for joining me today and happy Memorial Day weekend. And on today's show, I have a returning guest, and actually we were just talking, this is the fourth year that I've been in this position, and this is the fourth year that you've recorded with me. And today I have Susie Casper. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning. Thank you for having us again.
Yes. And again, for those of you that may not, maybe listening to the show for the first time, Susie is a park ranger at the Upper Delaware SNRR. So it's the Scenic Recreation River, correct?
You got it.
So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, being a park ranger? What is one of your jobs? Because this is really... I mean, you're always busy, but this is somewhat the busy time of your year, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely prepping for spring, and Memorial Day weekend is our kickoff for the season. So, you know, being a park ranger, a lot of people think you do one specific thing, but we wear many different hats. And so, you know, a big part of my job is reaching out to the community and making sure they're not only aware of our national park site that we have right here in this area, but all the wonderful things about it. And then, of course, what to do if you're going to come to our national park site and to be safe.
Right. So on today's show, you know, one topic that we always like to bring up, especially, you know, close to or around Memorial Day weekend, because a lot of outdoor activities start to happen, but is water safety. It is so important to bring this topic, I feel, every single year to our listeners. And I know you totally agree with that.
100%. I mean, it's not, you know, we're river specific, but everything that we talk about today can really, you know, be utilized in any body of water.
Right, right. And, you know, we always, it seems to, for the last 3 years, we have to bring up the topic of COVID-19. And what kind of guidelines are there this year? I know they're becoming less restrictive, which is a good thing. But how could someone tell whether or not they need to wear a mask or not?
Sure. So we're very lucky that our park is very, you know, most of our sites, it's all outdoors. So that's a good thing. You know, it's always a good idea to, you know, as COVID still looms, to socially distance and be cognizant of that when you're, you know, especially out there could be thousands of people on the river at a time. So just be aware of that for yourself and your family. But if you are coming in any of our buildings, the current status right now is masks are optional. However, the National Park Service follows the CDC's community COVID tool. Right now, so if there is a spike in COVID in our communities, our surrounding counties, that masking guidance could be changed. And we'll have signs posted on the doors of all our public buildings. And then also, too, you can check out our website. So we will update it as it changes.
Right. And it doesn't hurt just to stick that mask in your pocket, your backpack, always to have in your glove compartment. Nowadays, you never know when you
just
need to wear it or not. So, you know, what we... often like to remind people, especially with water safety and being out there on the river, is protecting themselves. And one of the most important key that we always talk about is life jacket safety, correct?
Absolutely.
Can you tell us, you know, about the drownings that you see on the river?
Yeah, so from 2018 to 2020, we were very lucky on the Upper Delaware. We experienced no drowning fatalities at all. There's always near misses. There's always incidents that happen, but we for 3 years didn't have anyone drown. But unfortunately, last year we had 5 drownings during the summer season, and 2 actually in one day. So now, you know, more than ever, you know, I know we come on and kind of talk about the same type things, but if it, you know, us here talking reaches one person and they decide to put their life jacket on and wear it right.
Right.
It's all worth it.
Right. Because, you know, in the 3 years that there were no drownings, you know, people were wearing their life jackets when they were out there because, you know, there was no drownings. Mm-hmm. Can you, you know, share with us, you know, the rules and regulations on the river that you kind of man or wherever, you know, what is the law? What do they need to do when they're out there?
Sure. So anybody that's coming on the river, whether if you're floating across the river, up the river, down the river, it could be in your canoe, your kayak, inner tube, it doesn't matter. Each person is required to have a life jacket going out, and it needs to be a Coast Guard approved life jacket. And what that means is when you buy a life jacket, or if you have one at home, there's on either the inside panel or the back panel of the life jacket, it has that rating. If you can't read the rating, it's not serviceable. There's a few things that make them not serviceable. So it has to have that Coast Guard label on there. I've seen some people show up on the river and it looks like their life jackets were from the time of the Titanic. Unfortunately, they're not going to save your life anymore. So it's really important to make sure that your life jackets are in good condition. So having that Coast Guard label, that it's rated for you. So Carol, I don't know how much you weigh, but you're not going to fit in a child-sized life jacket.
No,
that's
I won't.
Just the way it goes.
I will not.
So, and then there's, there's everything from an infant life jacket all the way up to an adult oversized life jacket. So it's really important to make sure that you have the right life jacket for yourself. And especially as the kids are growing up, they grow so fast that, 6 months later, the life jacket might not fit them anymore. So
right.
Make sure before the season, and that's kind of why we're talking about this, May is Water Safety Month. This is a time that people should start prepping all of their equipment, make sure they're in good condition. Also, too, to make sure that you don't alter your life jacket in any way. So if it has any rips or tears in it, it's not serviceable anymore. That flotation can pop out, if you're in an incident and, you're going to get into trouble. So make sure that... also, too, you don't alter the straps. I know little kids, sometimes the straps get to be really long and they're in the way and you want to just cut them. But if you cut those straps, the ends have a little kind of like a stopper on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, it can't come unfastened. So you want to make sure you don't alter those straps at all.
Right. And, when you mentioned those 5 drownings that happened last year, was everyone wearing a life jacket?
Unfortunately, they were not. One individual was wearing their life jacket. But it was not properly fastened. I think he just had it on, but it was not strapped at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is when you fall into fast moving water, that life jacket is likely not going to help you. It's actually going to hinder your swimming even more because it can get up around your head. And if you're trying to swim, it's going to make it more difficult. You can become tangled in it. So wear your life jacket and make sure it fits and make sure you fasten it properly.
Right, right. Because, if you're new to the river, you're not sure how fast the rapids are. You don't know how deep it is, correct? And if you fall in, you may not be found right away.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And unfortunately, one of our drownings, that very thing happened. This individual, I don't believe, knew how to swim. But the river looked so very calm and placid in most places, and it was only a foot or two deep, so they were just wading out, but they just kept taking a few more steps, and then the next thing you know, you're in a 10-foot hole. And even if you are a good swimmer, the water is moving fast. Like I said, it looks very calm and placid on the top, but it's once you get in the current, it's very fast moving, and it's very easy to panic.
Right.
And you're getting pushed down river. So
mm-hmm.
It's just so important that anytime you're near the water that you're wearing a life jacket.
Right. So, if someone's planning a trip to be out there and they're not quite sure if their life jacket fits, is there ranger stations? Like, is there offices they can check in with you? Different key points that...
Yeah, we have in the summer season, so from Memorial Day to Labor Day, we have 4 areas of the river that are staffed by park rangers and volunteers. And those areas have loaner life jackets available if you need one. We really recommend that folks bring their own if they can, because we only have a limited supply.
Mm-hmm.
But we can certainly, if you're not sure if it's the right size life jacket for yourself or your child or whoever, or even your dog, we'll come and we'll do the best we can to make sure that everything is looking good for the day.
Right. So number one on your list should always be a life jacket.
Absolutely.
For everyone in your party.
And bring an extra one too, because I can't tell you how many times we're out there. People flip their boats and stuff does. It floats away. So
right.
You never know when you can help somebody else out too.
Exactly, exactly. So what are other things that you need to plan a trip? Is there any guidelines out there that people can kind of pick up or read?
Definitely. So something new that last year that we added on our website, and most national park sites will have it on there, is the top 10 tips to plan like a park ranger. So you can just go to our website at www.nps.gov/upde. And that'll take you to those top 10 tips. It gives you some guides on things of what to see and do, but also how to, make sure you plan appropriately for your trip. So, it's hot here in the summer. It can even be pretty chilly. So making sure you're prepared for whatever the weather is, plenty of sunblock, plenty of water. If you're going to decide to drink alcohol, it's not illegal. However, there is a glass ban on the river. And it's pretty obvious why a lot of people slice their feet open on broken glass in the river. So a few years ago, we changed our superintendent's compendium to reflect that. So please, if you come out to the river, do not bring your glass. Pour it in a plastic container.
Right, right. Or anything, even there's some other beverages that may come in a glass container. No glass whatsoever.
Right, no glass whatsoever. So
uh-huh.
Please leave it at home.
Right, right. And what about, planning ahead? Like, how long is the river?
Well, we take care of 73.4 miles of river. Most people don't do that in a day or two or whatever. Most people are taking like maybe a 5, 10, 15 mile trip, something like that. But your river trip length will vary based on the river level. So some years we have a very rainy, you know, season and there's a lot of water. And some years we have no rain in the rivers. You're like, there's not any water here. When are we going to get there? So it's super important to always have extra food, extra water, medications, you know, anything like that. Because especially if you're in a raft, oftentimes people do, they find they're out there way longer than they had anticipated. You know, bad weather could roll in. So just make sure you have appropriate clothing. And believe it or not, we have more cases of hypothermia in the summer months in the river than we do this time of the year. You know, the river's temperature is usually pretty cool no matter what. And if a cold, you know, thunderstorm blows through and you only have your bathing suit, it cannot be a pleasant rest of your day.
Correct. So. Right, right. I know last year my friend and I, we went down kayaking and it took us much longer than we expected to be out there. So, you know, planning it, making sure we had enough water and food and snacks and stuff like that. I mean, yes, we didn't go far in the rapids and, you know, all that. But still, we prepared ourselves. It's so, so important. What about emergencies? If someone is on the river, what should they do?
Well, so the most important thing, like we said, is to be prepared. And, you know, always having a little first aid kit as well. You know, it's kind of like the number one injury is people are always scraping their feet, cutting it on rocks or, you know, fishing hooks or what have you. So a little first aid kit would be good to have as well. You know, having all those things, other things that we talked about to be prepared, but there is limited cell phone service in the area. So, you know, just making sure that you have, you know, letting someone know where you're going when you expect to return. So if it's just you and a friend, and we certainly never recommend boating by yourself, just in case something were to happen. So luckily, most parts of the river are near roads. So if you do have an emergency and there's no cell phone service, you know, try to flag someone down. But you know, we're kind of in the wilderness, so you have to be really prepared for anything.
Right, right. So, you know, officially, when do the rivers open? Are they open now?
The rivers open year-round. Just a few other life jacket requirements. So until April 30th, so there's a cold water mandatory wear. So anytime, so from November 1st to April 30th every year, it is both states, so New York and Pennsylvania have this regulation that if you're out in the water, you have to have a life jacket on at all times. And during the summer months, anytime the river goes over 6 feet, so when it's much elevated, when we have a lot of rain, and the current is much, much stronger, life jackets are required for everyone at all times.
Oh, okay. And that's really good to know.
Absolutely.
So, like, if someone is going out for the weekend, you know, especially with Memorial Day weekend, can they go online and check all these regulations out?
Yeah, absolutely. Just at our website. Again, it's www.nps.gov/UPDE. And then also check out you click connect to our links to Facebook and Instagram as well.
Right. So, you know, again, you'll post any updates or anything like that on those pages, which is
important. Yeah, we have alerts on our page, and it's right at the top of the page. Every national park does. So if there's something going on that's important that you need to know about, it'll be on our webpage.
Okay. Any last recommendations? Like, you know, are there pit stops? Can people stop and go to the bathroom on the river?
So there's, once you're in the park corridor, and many of our access points have a brochure box that has our park map and guide on there. You can also click to request one at our website. So if you're not living locally, you can't pick one up and get it in advance. But a lot of the land is privately owned, so if you're not stopping at those, you know, access points where we have a lot of port-a-johns out there, luckily. So, you know, the rule of thumb is to go way above the river, you know, about 50 to 100 feet above the riverbank, not on somebody's property if you have an emergency and you have to go, you know, dig a hole, bury your business.
Right, yeah. Right, right. And, you know, carry maybe that roll of toilet paper with you just in case, huh?
Yeah, it's the national parks. We're in the wilderness.
Exactly. We have like less than a minute left. Any last recommendations for our listeners today?
Yeah, just can't stress enough that, you know, after having 5 drownings last summer, please, please wear your life jacket. You know, if you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for your family, do it for the first responders. It was an incredibly trying year for all of our park rangers last summer, having to, you know, to deal with that. And then, you know, they didn't go home to their families at night. And
right.
That's, you know, there's children out there without parents right now. And it's just incredibly taxing on everyone. So please just, you know, we want you to go out and have a fantastic time, but just please wear that life jacket.
Right. And I can't agree with you more. It is so traumatic for you as a park ranger, for your coworkers, the families out there. So, you know, the best thing you can do is just wear a life jacket. I mean, it's really that easy.
So simple. Just like when you get in your car and you put your seatbelt on. Just
Exactly. Well, Susie, I can't thank you enough for being on the show again this year.
Thank you for having us.
Any, you know, phone numbers or anything that people can call, or just check out the website?
Sure. So also you can call, if you have further information about anything we talked about, you can call our office. It's 570-685-4871. And we're down at the Zangray Museum in Lackawaxen. But also, too, we have a river hotline and phone number, so that you can check 24 hours a day. It's usually updated in the morning by 9 o'clock. And that's 845-252-7100. And that's where you'll get your up-to-date river conditions for the day.
Oh, wonderful.
If you're looking to head out.
Yep, so put that on speed dial when you're out there heading out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, check the day in advance, especially if you're driving up from, you know, a couple hours away, because river conditions, as we saw just last week, we had a little flood. They can change very, very quickly, and we can't turn the water off. So
no,
you don't want to come up and have your day ruined.
No. So again, Susie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Again, this is Carol Kinnear, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. Thank you for listening, and have a great day, and be safe.